And I want to ask you, what do you treasure most? What is your most treasured possession? When you think of this life, what do you treasure in your heart more than anything else? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a letter from Jim and Leah in Wisconsin. They say, "Dear ETS Radio staff, thank you for your ministry to the body through radio. We enjoy listening. We appreciate the godly teaching and faithfulness to the truth of Scripture. May God bless you in the ministry as you stand firm in His Word. With thanks, Jim and Leah." Well, Jim and Leah, we are so thankful to the Lord for the privilege of sharing His Word, and we're thankful that His Word is working in the lives of those who are listening to the broadcast. So we just give all the praise and glory to Him.
And Greg, in today's study, we're going to see how far Abraham's faith had come.
Indeed we are, Dave. So with this in mind, let's continue on our study and turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And here we see that God tested Abraham's faith. And for believers, we're going to be tested. There are many passages that relay this, and I'm going to read through those. James 1, verse 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We need to know that. James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under a trial, for once he has been approved," or approved by testing, as that's what it means, approved in the context of testing, "he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." For believers, testing is part and parcel of the Christian life. God will demonstrate through situations in our lives where our faith is at. You see, we are prideful. We think we're trusting the Lord at times when we're really not. And He will allow situations to come upon us to demonstrate where our faith is at. And ultimately, the test for Abraham was to show his ultimate faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your" what? "Testing," or proving. "As though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory in God rests on you." And if you go back to chapter 1, after declaring this great salvation we have in the person of Jesus Christ, notice what he says in chapter 1, verse 6 of 1 Peter. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice." That's pointing back to the blessing in Christ of salvation. That's what he's talking about. "Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." Notice this verse 7. "That the proof of your faith," the demonstration of genuine faith in Jesus Christ, "the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." From the Scriptures, the proving and testing of true believers' faith brings great joy and maturity in Christ. And it brings blessing. Blessed are those who persevere under trial. For once they have been proven or approved, they will receive the crown of life. You see, God's goal in testing is good. And we need to see that. And in this example, if you were just to look at the beginning of Abraham's test, you would say, this doesn't sound good to me at all. The pagans are the ones who sacrifice their kids. Those in Canaan were doing that. I'm sure Abraham was aware of that. We're going to see he doesn't question the Lord God. He obeys him because he's a true believer and he walks by faith. So we see here, back to our passage, we should know that testing is coming for true believers. Don't be surprised. God's going to prove your faith through the things that you're going through. He's going to demonstrate to you and all around you that you're a true believer, or maybe not. He's going to show you where your faith is at. So back to our passage, he's literally proving Abraham. He says, take your son now, your only son whom you love, verse 2, and go to the land of Moriah. Where's the land of Moriah? Well, we have a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, which speaks of the land of Moriah as where the temple was built. Let me read this for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David in the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ormon the Jebusite. And it's thought that Mount Moriah has kind of a ridge. And if you follow that ridge, there's a hill that looks like a skull. It was called Golgotha, which was translated in Latin, Calvary. And although it doesn't say it, he says, one of the hills in Moriah, I will tell you. It is my thought that it was probably on that hill that Abraham built the altar and offered up his only son. Certainly it was in Jerusalem. Certainly it was near the temple. So God is telling Abraham, whom he loves, to leave Beersheba. That's in the southern area of Canaan. We know that that's where he's been. And to go to the land of Moriah. It's about a 3-day walk, as we'll see. And he says to offer him as a burnt offering. What's a burnt offering? I thought burnt offerings were something that God revealed in the law. No, we see this and saw this earlier. Remember, we saw offerings back in the time of Adam and Eve. As righteous Abel, in Genesis 4, offered up by faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Remember we saw in chapter 8, verses 20 to 22, that Noah, after he had come out of the ark, the only righteous man at that time, had come out of the ark, he offered every clean bird and animal as burnt offerings. Noah had an understanding that someone needed to die. The foreshadowing of the seed and the one who would crush Satan's head. And Abraham did the same thing. He built an altar in chapter 12 when he came to Canaan, when the Lord appeared to him. He then built another altar east of Bethel where he called upon the name of the Lord. In some way or fashion, God had revealed to them this symbolic act which would point to what Christ would do. And so we have a physical picture of spiritual worship in seed form, pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what's a burnt offering? Obviously, our portion gives us a better understanding. It's where in animals we will see, or hear, his son would be offered up. He would be killed and then burnt completely. It pointed to the substitutionary atonement of Christ, as we will see. In Exodus chapter 10, Moses told Pharaoh that they needed to take the cattle into the wilderness to offer burnt offerings. In chapter 18, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, offered a burnt offering to God. And the Israelites did so when they received the law in Mount Sinai, Exodus 20 and 24. And this burnt offering really was a picture, and we see it within the Levitical law, of personal atonement for sin. Now we know that these acts, these physical acts, never brought forgiveness of sins, chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, but they pointed to the one who would come and die for our sins. And so Abraham is being told by God to offer a burnt offering, and that offering is his only son whom he loved. One pastor writes here, God was testing him where his greatest treasure was. Was it the Lord or Isaac? He says, we all know of child-centered homes. Their children are their great treasures. It's evident because of what they sacrificed to give up for the sake of these kids. Family can become an enormous treasure righteously, but it can also become an idol. And Abraham was being tested, the son in whom he loved. And I want to ask you, what do you treasure most? What is your most treasured possession? When you think of this life, what do you treasure in your heart more than anything else? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the Lord is testing Abraham to prove his faith and demonstrate it. And the Lord allows true believers to see where we really are through those testing of faith. And he will also show those who may claim to be believers where they really stand in regards to faith. So if you're following along, Abraham has a dilemma, doesn't he? The promise, Hebrews 11:18, to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. And why would God ask to do something like this? It's totally out of his character, it seems. Well, we'll see. Obviously, he was foreshadowing his provision of his only son being sacrificed for us. You know, often the Lord brings us in situations where his word reveals something that we should do and we don't understand. And we are stuck trying to resolve the unresolvable. We need to be assured of what God has said and not go past that. You see, if you're looking for assurance beyond God's word, you will be paralyzed. Trust the Lord God. So we have this very difficult situation. God has given him a clear command. So what does Abraham do? Let's learn from his response. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham's faith manifests in obedience. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, verse 17, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He in whom he would receiving the promises was offering up his only begotten son. So as we look at this, let's make some observations as we go through. Again, he obeyed. He rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, verse 2, with two of the young men with him and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering. He got up early to obey. And he went to the place which God had told him. Boom, boom, boom. Abraham obeys one thing after another. There is no delay, even in this serious trial. There was no questions. There was no grumbling. There was no figuring it out. He simply obeyed the clear command of the living God. That is genuine biblical faith, as we'll see. By faith, Abraham offered up. Genuine faith, as we'll see, cannot be separated from obedience to the living God. If you have a real relationship with the Lord, you're going to trust him, you're going to love him, and if you love him, you'll keep his commands. He obeyed right away. And notice, this testing wasn't over in a couple minutes. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. It was about a 3 days distance from Beersheba in the southern portion of Canaan up to where Jerusalem would be, to the land of Moriah. At this point, we begin to see the typology and the foreshadowing of certain pieces of this true story, which would foreshadow what Christ would do. We have 3 days. 3 days in which Abraham knew his son was as good as dead, in which he would receive him back as a type. And if you'll remember, Christ was in the grave 3 days before he rose. So verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. This is an incredible statement. Abraham's faith not only manifests in obedience, but worship of the living God. We see here that he worshiped the Lord. He says, we will worship. He saw what the Lord had called him to do in this offering of his son as worship. We will worship. You know, Romans chapter 12, we are to be offering ourselves as living sacrifices, acceptable, which is our spiritual service of worship. Yes, we corporately come together and we worship the living God, but yet worship we see here in the context of this is obedience in the context of faith. What is your worship like all week long? Now notice Abraham's obedience and worship was based on absolute confidence in the Lord and His word. Again, verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you." What an incredible statement. We will return to you. Abraham knows God is asking him to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. And he says, we will return to you. Brothers and sisters, in spite of Abraham's feelings and his understanding, he believed what God said. Look again in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. To him it was said, "In Isaac your descendant shall be." And look at verse 19 in Hebrews 11. He considered, he reckoned. That's an accounting term. There's no emotion to it. It is a reckoning. He reckoned that God is able to raise men even from the dead. We haven't seen any resurrection yet in Scripture. There's no statements that Abraham would have known of resurrection. But he considered God able to raise him from the dead. He was willing to obey him, and he understood the promises would come through him. So he said, "We will return after we worship." That's faith. Abraham was fully intending to obey the Lord in offering his son whom he loves. And he fully believed the promises, which seemed to be contradictory, and ultimately reckoned that God could raise him from the dead. Now that's true faith. He believed in the God who raises the dead. He believed and trusted in his promises over his feelings and understanding. He obeyed. You see, when you really believe, you're going to obey. When you really love the Lord more than you love your desires, you're going to obey. And yet we need to be convicted sometimes when our desires are off. We need to be confronted when our hearts are straying. One pastor writes, here is the point that a writer is making. Where is your faith? When your faith is tested, and it will be, what is the anchor of your soul? What is your focus? What kind of situation are you in right now? How are you being tested? What does God say about that in His Word? Are you willing to believe what His Word says and obey it over what you feel and understand from your own wisdom? Are you having problems at work? Submit to your boss, 1 Peter chapter 2. Do your work unto the Lord, Colossians. Having marital problems, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit as to the Lord. Having problems with your children, teach them the Word of God, Deuteronomy 6. Proverbs, spank them, discipline them righteously. Need wisdom? Ask with faith, without doubting, James chapter 1. Struggling with anxiety, that sin, pray and focus on Christ, Philippians chapter 4. Struggling with physical provision, seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be added. What is going on in your life? Are you taking God at His word and obeying Him? Abraham did in the greatest test that would come upon him. And he stepped out in obedience. And notice it's important that we also see that again, there's this typology, as I'll explain, going along in this true story. In the book of Hebrews, he says that he considered, verse 19, that God was able to raise men from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham considered him as good as dead. He was going to sacrifice him. And when God provided a substitute, he received him back as a type, just like the Lord Jesus Christ would die for our sins and rise from the dead. That word type is actually the word parable. It is something that is thrown alongside to explain. The New Testament writer is revealing that when Abraham received his son back, who was as good as dead, it was like as though Christ was rising from the dead. As we will see, he did. So back in our passage, verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. We just can't imagine what this is like. It's just a matter of fact. It's being described here, but it's hard to imagine. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on. Now Abraham had split the wood earlier, and now he is taken that wood and given it to Isaac. Isaac is carrying the wood in which he would be sacrificed on. Again, I believe foreshadowing the reality, Christ would carry his cross. And he says, so the two of them walked on together. I think, again, foreshadowing the harmony between Father and Son as Christ would advance to the cross. Now notice at this point, Isaac is wondering something. Verse 7. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now you may ask at this point, how old is Isaac? And that's a good question. Abraham in verse 5 calls him a lad. And in verse 12, the Lord calls him a lad. And that Hebrew term speaks of a boy, a youth, or a young man. So how old is he? Some have said he's in his 30s because the age that was given for Sarah when she died in chapter 23. But I don't think he was quite that old because Sarah died in Hebron. But in chapter 22, it says that Abraham lived in Beersheba. So some time had passed. And we know some time had passed in chapter 21 where he lived in that area. So it's my thought, although we don't know, that Isaac is obviously past the age of being weaned. He can talk pretty well. I think he's probably a teenager or a young adult. And I lean towards a teenager because of the way he addresses his father. He says, my father. I think he's probably about 16, 17, 18 years old, but we don't know. And what's interesting here, he asked the question, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Heneni, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, this is an amazing statement by Isaac that we might miss. Isaac understands the burnt offering. He understands this. He's obviously been taught. He has obviously seen this before. Abraham is a man of God who has done this before, called upon the name of the Lord, sacrificed, as we've seen, those animals which pointed to the sacrifice of Christ. Isaac has been taught. And you know what? God told Abraham that he should be commanding his children. Remember that back in chapter 18? Turn back there for a minute. Chapter 18, verse 17. Isaac's puzzled. Where's the lamb? Isn't there going to be a sacrifice, Dad? Chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? That was concerning his destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Since Abraham will surely become a great mighty nation, and in him all the nations will be blessed. Verse 19, for I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham all that he had spoken about him. Abraham taught his kids, apparently. Isaac is saying, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb, my father? So what is Abraham's answer? Verse 8 back in Genesis. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. And Greg, at least twice, Abraham slipped and fell in his faith, doubting God would deliver on his promise. And instead, he walked in fear, attempting to deliver himself from potential trouble, and both times resulting in disaster.
And now, Dave, we see how far Abraham's faith in the living God has come. He didn't slip into fear and try to figure out a way to save Isaac and still obey the Lord. Rather, he walked in confident faith, as we see from verse 1 through 12, without hesitation, without question, without wavering, knowing that God would provide. And I want to make it clear, Abraham's confidence was in the living God, not in himself. Indeed, God's testing of Abraham throughout his life demonstrated God's faithfulness in spite of Abraham's past faithlessness. And that is how God develops a believer's faith through testing. He reveals where our heart is at while proving himself to us.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.